good when he's playing the point. He had 7 turnovers last ball game against Orlando.
Derrick Williams hammers it home.
Their only lead, the Timberwolves tonight, was a 2-0, trying to win it here. Love got it!
Oh my, oh my, oh my. Is that great basketball or what?
Williams
breaks away and throws it down. Ricky Rubio sets up the rookie, Derrick Williams,
man.
And he smashes it home.
This is the Backdoor Cut, a Meat Sauce production.
This is the Backdoor Cut on KFAN.com. KFAN.com studios at 1600 Utica Avenue Southeast, St. Louis Park, Minnesota, overlooking the beautiful, glorious, wondrous city of Minneapolis, right outside of 394 in the 100 loop. Brett Cloutier has finally, for the first time all summer, and it is the end of July. This conversation happened about, I don't know, 2 months ago. You finally made it down the studio once again.
I figured it was time to see your bright and shiny face, your nice lime green shirt, and talk a little Wolves face to face. I mean, it's been nice. You know, the phone calls have been all right. It's been satisfactory. I mean, the content's always great, as I pat myself and yourself on the back.
Yeah.
But the flow sometimes isn't as sharp. And right now, I mean, back and forth, looking at your, like I said, your bright and shiny face, looking in those hazel eyes. Let's talk Wolves.
Is this bright and shiny as you remember? Brighter,
a little
baby?
More tan.
Yeah,
looks like you've been working outside of the pool.
Well, as you can tell by our Variety Hour with Kelsey Schultz and Meat Sauce, that will be up on the Meat Sauce page of KFN.com under the on-air section in about an hour or two. I have been working at a pool, bartending and being gotten hit on by plenty of chicks. Lucky. And the Kelsey Schultz 45-minute conversation and Meat Sauce half-hour conversation within the Variety Hour this week. A lot of good stuff. The Dark Knight Rises. Magic Mike, which is funny enough. No one knew that one was coming. And a bunch of relationships, dating, the whole bit. Brett Cloutier, what we usually do with Kelsey Schultz. So you can find that on the on-air section of KFN.com. Saturday's the Sauce page on Facebook at the Backdoor Cut on KUG with Mike Gallagher and Brett Cloutier. Or on Twitter, where we tweeted out. Meat Sauce usually retweets. Kelsey usually retweets. So everything is readily at your fingertips in a number of different spots. This is the basketball segment, Wolves edition, for BringMeTheNews.com. Proud partner of the Backdoor Cut and KFAN.com. And Brett Cloutier, today we start with the NBA Summer League. It's over. It's over for your club, but there was a number of very positive things to come out of the NBA Summer League. Let's start at Game 3. We recapped Game 1 and 2 on the last show, the Backdoor Cut Wolves edition, second edition of this version of the show. This is the third 78-65 victory over the Cavs. Derrick Williams showing off the athleticism in this one. Two monster jams. You're a big Kobe Carl guy. He drops 18 in this game. I know there's a lot of point guards already on the roster, but Kobe Carl, is he pushing J.J. Bray? Is he pushing Luke Ridnow?
The problem with Kobe Carl, he's like 43 years old.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, for a guy who doesn't have any NBA experience, he is really, really old.
He is like 28 or 29.
He's 29 years old. He's put up very good numbers. Like you said, throughout the summer league, 4 games, 8.3 points. You know, 3.8 assists per game, but he's had some phenomenal. He had the huge game. He had 8 assists in like 20 minutes. And he had, again, like the huge scoring output. He ran the offense well. Obviously, I never watched any of the summer league games, but all the indications were he ran the offense well. He looked like kind of a veteran point guard, but at the same time, like I said last week on the show, how much faith can you really put in these summer league games? They're not playing against NBA competition. The fact that Wes Johnson and Derrick Williams, two guys who started significant amount of games for the Wolves last year, Wes Johnson starting all but one, Derrick Williams starting about a third of the games, the fact that they were in the summer league is very rare. And Wes Johnson, this will be his third year in the league. Usually it's 1, maybe 2 years in the summer league. This isn't very good competition. So while Kobe Carl, great, filled the box score, you know, 4 or 5 times, he ain't going to be on this team come December.
Speaking of not a whole lot of talent, Andre Emmett was the only name I recognized on the D-League selects in Game 4 of the summer league team. His better days were at Texas Tech, an 86-78 win for the Wolves summer league team over the D-League selects. My really only question out of this game, are the D-League selects the guys that weren't good enough to make a summer league team? I think that's it, isn't it? I know that we don't really know for sure, but it looked like from the names that were on there.
We look at guys like Paulo Prestes. These are guys that teams have drafted and shipped overseas who, you know, aren't out of their contracts in Europe or It's younger guys.
But the D-League selects, where it's like...
A lot of the D-League select guys are guys who are in their third. Ricky Davis is playing in the D-League this past year. He's not going to be in the Summer League roster. It's these guys who have played in the NBA. These guys... I mean, Kobe Carr was one of the oldest players in Summer League at 28, 29 years old. So you're getting with the D-League selects. You're getting some guys in their 30s. You're getting guys like Andre Emmett, some former college guys who maybe have had a cup of tea in the NBA, have been on Summer League rosters before. But what the Summer League is for these young guys... See if they have any potential. See if it's someone maybe you keep in Europe, or maybe you bring on and do the Cole Aldrich role, which is you sit in your Gucci suit on the sidelines for 82 games, be an NBA chemist, high five, lead the handshake line, and that's it. That's really what the Summer League is for. See what kind of young guys and see what potential is out there.
The D-League selects were absolutely awful. 28 points for Wes Johnson in that one. Game 5, the final game, a chance for the Wolves to go 4-1 and tie for second place in the Las Vegas Summer League. 97-91 win over the Grizzlies. They almost... I actually watched the highlights of all these games because I was looking on the Wolves in Vegas. Hashtag Wolves in Vegas. You love
it.
The Wolves in Vegas, the headquarters for their summer league, I was looking on the site, and NBA.com kind of runs it through there where they'll have the highlight package right above the box score and the recap. And so I was looking at the box scores trying to see what happened, you know, what the bit was, and watched the highlights of the Wolves almost giving this one away. Selby stole it from Josh Selby, co-MVP of the Summer League, stole it from your guy Kobe Carl, and missed a three in the corner that would have given Memphis the 1-point lead. Luckily for us, we end up the Summer League 4-1. Mike Harris 22-12. Derek Williams went 1-for-10 in that game. Game 5, once again, encouraging another win for this group of guys who're just throwing together. At one point, and I kind of thought this was funny. At one point throughout the Summer League, we did have 21 guys on the roster. Yeah. I mean, that's almost an entire baseball team. Like, do we have guys coming out of the bullpen to, like, shoot free throws? Like, what's the deal? I don't understand what exactly the whole bit was. We had so many people. It looked like they were just trying to get people minutes at the end.
We had so many guys who didn't play. First off, Malcolm Lee had been a guy who would have been great to see play. Yeah. He had the meniscus tear early in the season. They didn't want to have him play 5 games in 6 days. Yeah. The biggest one for me was my guy, Sylvan Landisberg, didn't get any run. Didn't get any run in the summer. You know, you look at guys, William Buford only played in 2 games, Garrett Stutz, Papa Dia, Jet Ching, Lamont Mack, Gary Johnson, the other guys in the roster who never got any playing time.
Disease,
I think you
disease,
can probably
disease,
carry as many guys as you want on your summer league roster. It's a matter of not playing them. You know, Robbie Hummel didn't play as well as I thought he would. That's probably one of the biggest disconcerting thing that I saw. Drafted in the second round, kind of NBA ready with his NBA body, being 32 years old as a rookie. Obviously 23 years old with the 2 ACL surgeries at Purdue and the two redshirt seasons, but didn't really bring it like, you know, Rick Edelman and staff would have liked to have seen. Paulo Press kind of dropped off there at the end. But Wes Johnson, your guy.
20 points a game, 6th in the Summer League.
Well, here's my thing. Number one thing that bugged me from the Summer League was hashtag Wolves in Vegas.
Yeah.
The number two was that you had the, and I won't say any names, but you had the Timberwolves beat people or the Timberwolves followers tweeting live from Vegas that Wes Johnson versus Josh Selby, who was co-MVP, and Wes Johnson was left off the All-Star team. Really? Should he? I mean, the biggest... It's the Summer League All-Star team. What's the big deal that Wes Johnson wasn't on it? First off, he shouldn't have been in the Summer League because it shows that he's been awful in his first 2 years in the NBA. That's the biggest issue. Second off,
he should be performing like a top 5 pick.
Who cares? He should be putting up 40 points a game if he's that good in the Summer League. Right. You tell me that a guy like Russell Westbrook wouldn't score 60 points a game in the Summer League? Kevin Durant.
Oh, God.
I mean,
that would be fun.
Obviously, I'm comparing Wes Johnson to the best scorers in the NBA. But the point is, 20 points per game by an NBA starter who started almost every single game of his first 2 years isn't good. So, sorry he wasn't on the All-Star team. I get you want to give him some credit. You want to give him some accolades. I'm over it. It's a summer league. Take his 20.5 points per game, and let's move on.
Well, you're saying that you're comparing him to the top scorers in basketball. You're also comparing him to top 5 picks, which he was. So, you know, the comparison at some point is fair. When the fact that you have guys that Durant, you know, number 2 overall,
right.
Westbrook, top 5 guy, those guys, they're legitimate comparisons coming out of college. Maybe not so legit now, but at the same time, potential what people expected out of them, those two aren't in the Summer League because they perform. Those guys aren't in the Summer League because they're out trying to win titles. Those guys are seen minutes on an NBA floor. You can't say the same for Wes.
And here's the thing is you're having all these beat writers trying to write these stories that, oh, Wes just didn't have his mind right in his first year. No, it's all a bit. He gets it. It's a game. Yeah. He has PR people. He has agents. He has his boys from Syracuse telling him, yo, Wes, like, you got to tell people something was up so they can really buy into this performance. Believe it when I see it in an NBA game, not a Summer League game. I don't want to hear about now he's got his mind right. Wes Johnson had good numbers at Syracuse.
Yeah.
It didn't transfer to the NBA. You think these Summer League numbers against the Big East is better competition than the NBA Summer League? Those numbers didn't transfer when he's 23 years old coming out of Syracuse. How are they going to transfer now when he's 25, 26 years old playing against very, very inferior, washed-up European talent in the NBA Summer League?
What was your favorite Wolves being crowned champions of the Summer League moment? I'm depressed that Golden State was 5-0. Were you at the ceremony? Were you at the trophy ceremony?
I wasn't, no. No, my invite got lost in the mail.
It was emotional. Steven Jackson, Baron Davis, and...
More emotional.
Andres Biedrins were there.
David Lee. More emotional was the trophy ceremony for the Summer League champs or Glenn Taylor hoisting the Lynx championship trophy a year ago. More emotional.
God, I just couldn't care less about either of those things.
Right.
Sorry.
Take the Summer League for what it is. You get Derek Williams more run. You see what Pablo Prestes has, guy you drafted 45 overall in 2010. Maybe Malcolm Lee didn't get to play. Okay, it would have been nice to see him get some action. You see what Robbie Hummel has. You see what Derek Williams has. And then you do a bunch of favors for the Luke Sigmas, the Kobe Carls, guys who you have connections with from other coaches in the league. That's all it is. It's a chance for these guys to get some film out there. It's maybe there is one breakout star every year who finds his way in an NBA roster. But other than that, get these guys experience, get them in the system they're going to be playing in, and move on.
Before we move on from the Summer League, Damian Lillard, also co-MVP of the Summer League, led the league scoring. Weber State, and all he does is shoot like 97% from like 22 points feet and 7 inches or whatever the outrageous stat was that they threw up on ESPN that extended way too far. But he is my guy. He averaged 26 points a game. You can't sleep on Damian Lillard, and I'm bitter. They ripped me apart. Look at him now. Look at him now.
It was great that he got this experience with the Portland Trail Blazers. Was able to work in that system, but these numbers aren't going to transfer over. You need to show it in an NBA game.
And he will.
But there's
he
hasn't no
had the chance yet. At least Wes Johnson's had the chance to do it, and he hasn't done it.
Here's the thing. Robbie Hummel, 3.6 points per game. If he can't score 4 points a game in a summer league game, he's not going to be good in the NBA. But if you're good if you're good in summer league, you are not necessarily going to be good in the NBA.
You don't think he can average 4 points a game in the NBA, Robbie Hummel?
That could transfer over.
There you go. So what's the difference? Both were drafted this year.
That is the comparison. You're right.
My one worry on the Summer League, Derek Williams shot 35% from the field.
Yeah.
I mean, that is absolutely horrendous.
12% from three.
The shot selection, what is it? Is it the fact that he's forcing it because I'm guessing they said, hey, you got to go out, you got to work in your game, you got to get better. Go ahead. Not a whole lot of people are going to be watching this. Not a whole lot of people are going to care. Go try some things. Is it essentially like spring training where you're working on things?
I would hope so.
Yeah, I would too.
But at the same time, you'd
off.
Love to put some faith in Wes Johnson shooting 45% from three. So you got to take the good with the bad. You either accept it as it's a grain of salt or you put a lot of faith in it. I think you accept it as a grain of salt. Free throw numbers are nice. I mean, Derek Williams, 62%. That's what he shot about last season. Wes Johnson, 93%. Awesome. But 35% from the field, that can't be overlooked. Now, if he was 42%, okay. Below 40% in a summer league and with Derek Williams, a guy who thrives around the rim. He's shooting a lot of high percentage shots, especially in summer league, more up and down, get some bad defensive rotation. He had a lot of dunks, like you mentioned, in the Cavs game. Those are high percentage shots. He should be shooting at least 50% in summer league.
You rip Royce White for not wanting to fly. You can't rip him for almost having a triple-double in game one of the summer league.
God, look at you and your summer league numbers. You love summer league numbers.
These guys are going to be brilliant. They're going to be brilliant. It's not like the NFL preseason where I write everything off. It's not like spring training where I write everything off. This is a legitimate league. Can you keep a straight face? I couldn't keep a straight face.
Yeah, no, it's not.
It's not. I love looking right after they get drafted because I've ripped you so much for ripping Royce White and Damian Lillard. I just love looking at it and being like, this might be the one time that I might get right about this.
My thesis with Summer League, I'll wrap it up one more time. It's great for these young guys to get in the offense that they're going to see, get experience in this with the certain sets and the certain plays, get experience with the player development coaches, and then that's it. You can't take what happens in the game too seriously.
Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Stiesma, our new backup center. Or, well, maybe starter if Nikola Pekovic gets hurt again at the end of the year. But Greg Stiesma over Jordan Hill, and we debated this last week. I was really hoping Jordan Hill would be the pick. Probably would have had to pay him $2 or $3 million more a year based on potential, based on the fact that he was drafted top 10 3 years ago. Jordan Hill not going to be in a Timberwolves uniform. Yep. Greg Stiesma, former Boston Celtic offer sheet, which looked like $2 to $3 million a year, not matched by the Boston Celtics. And he is a new member of your Minnesota Timberwolves.
Here's the thing with Greg Stiesma is that he's going to play good defense. He rotates well. He's going to take charges, and he's going to block some shots. But he doesn't rebound well.
No.
He's not a good rebounder.
Kevin Love.
And that's the thing. And you look at Jordan Hill. Like I mentioned last week, Jordan Hill rebounded at a higher rate than Kevin Love. But he's going to play a lot of time with Kevin Love. He doesn't need to rebound. So guy Greg Stiesma, who's better defensively,
better
Kevin Love, notoriously bad defender. He's not. He doesn't rotate well. He's not very athletic to block shots. He doesn't get out to shooters. Can't guard the stretch forwards like the Dirks or the Ryan Andersons. Okay. You bring a guy like Greg Stiesma, he's going to be able to protect the rim. He's going to be able to kind of put a Band-Aid on some of the defensive fallacies that Kevin Love possesses.
Better or worse than Mark Madsen?
Oh, way better.
Way better, okay.
Significantly better.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
But Greg Stiemsma's only played 1 year in the league.
Right.
Bouncing on the D-League.
Undrafted
in Europe,
out of Wisconsin.
Undrafted.
Yeah.
You know, you got Stanford, Mark Mattson in the Pac-10. You got Greg Stiemsma, you got the Big Ten. You got the title runs, the Lakers. So you got Stiemsma with the Celtics. Similarities. He's going to be better than Mattson.
Buy or sell that he was the pick because he's white?
I'm not touching that.
Okay. We thought Courtney Lee was going to be a Timberwolf. No, we didn't.
Right?
We didn't.
Well,
I didn't think it. I was hoping. I was hoping beyond hope that he would be.
I thunk it.
4-year, $21.5 million deal. Fully guaranteed to the Celtics. Now, you looked at the deal because it was a sign-and-trade. And let's harken back to the Nicholas Batum sign-and-trades that we heard about. And granted, this may be factual, may be completely fabricated. I saw 2 first-round picks for Nicholas Batum. Mm-hmm. You saw Derek Williams in a first. You even saw Derek Williams maybe straight up. Who knows? There's a lot of rumors out there, a lot of them, from what we surmise, giving way too much, let alone the contract being $11 million a year. Lee gets $5 million a year, 4 years, 21.5, as we said. He, to the Rockets, goes a second rounder. Etuan, basically the entire Purdue team from 3 years ago. Etuan Moore, Juwan Johnson, and Sean Williams. And Moore and Williams are apparently going to be waived, so that we can throw that out right away. Mm-hmm. Second rounder and Etuan Moore. And Juwan Johnson. Second rounder and Juwan Johnson. Then Sasha Pavlovich in 2 seconds and cash go to the Blazers, who just jumped in to facilitate the whole deal. It's all very confusing. But when you look at the base of it, so basically 3 second-round picks, right? Cash, Sasha Pavlovich, Juwan Johnson. So you're telling me that if you're throwing 2 first-round picks, maybe a first in Derek Williams, and $11 million in Nicholas Batum, you can't go out there and throw, just off the top of my head, none of these are going to make a whole lot of sense, but let's say Wes Johnson. Because Wes Johnson, quite honestly, and I can't believe I'm saying this, aside from maybe Sasha Pavlovich, is better than any of the players in this deal. Can't believe I'm saying he's better than anyone. But let's say Wes Johnson, let's say Luke Ridenour, and 2 second-round picks to get Courtney Lee. You can't put together some kind of package that's going to fill a need like that?
Here's the problem is that you have to match salaries.
Yeah.
And Boston's so far over the cap,
yeah,
they couldn't sign him on his own. They need to be a sign-and-trade. The biggest problem, and we talked about this very, very briefly on our Variety Hour with Paul Lambert, a.k.a. Meat Sauce, he mentioned that on the Power Trip, they talked about that on his show, Saturday's Sauce, that the Timberwolves really kind of screwed themselves over. They had too much involvement. No, nothing happened. Well, they got rid of they bought out Martell Webster. They amnestied Darko Milicek,
yep,
to give the offer sheet to Nicholas Batum.
Yeah.
It got matched.
Yeah.
They lost that ability to execute a sign and trade with the Houston Rockets to bring in Courtney Lee. So by buying out Martell Webster and amnestying Darko Milicek to have this, all this cap space for Nicholas Batum, they screwed off any chance of executing a sign and trade with Courtney Lee. Now, could they have signed him as a free agent? Potentially, with their capital, potentially. But obviously, this sign and trade was the route. They also gave away 2 second-round picks just to get rid of Brad Miller.
Yeah.
So the assets, these small assets that you need to execute a trade, a minor trade, but an important trade to bring in a guy like Courtney Lee, fell flat on the table. David Kahn had this excellent plan. And what he thought, because again, he's the smartest guy in every room he walks in.
Yep.
He knows everything. He had all the angles figured out. He didn't. Because now he's left empty-handed without a shooting guard that has cartilage in his knees.
And the other options, Ronnie Brewer, dead, gone.
Got Knicks, New York Knicks, 1 year.
Randy Foy, gone, dead,
1 year,
off the market.
Utah Jazz.
Kyle Korver, trade to Atlanta.
Yep.
What I have left, Delonte West.
Yep.
We talked about Meat Sauce a little bit. I do not want to touch him. He's way too much of a head case off the court. His better days were back with St. Joe's when him and Jameer Nelson were number one in the country and
nice
nearly
reference.
Undefeated. Jody Meeks, who before I looked, I quite honestly couldn't have told you if he was in the NBA or not. I remember him from college. Maryland? I don't know exactly where it was. I think it was Maryland.
He's out West Coast.
He might have been West Coast. Shooter, a guy that can fill a role, a poor man's Kyle Korver, we could say. Those are some pretty small names.
Yep.
And as Meat Sauce, hit the nail on the head, we didn't have a backup plan.
No backup plan.
And the Courtney Lee bit, you know, would have been nice. It was probably kind of a pipe dream, probably didn't really add up in the end. Like you said, with the salaries, with the lack of a sign and trade option. And now you're forced into a situation where, like we were saying, by mid-year, Brandon Roy and Alexei Shved might both be ready to start shooting guard.
Sure.
But for the discernible next 30 games, let's say, the first 30 games of the season, I'm really not liking a backcourt of Luke Ridenour or J.J. Barea, who probably Ridenour, starting at the one, and Shved, Roy, Buttinger, whoever it's going to be, guys.
Or Wes Johnson probably starting at the two.
Or guys with very little to no starting experience in the NBA at the two, or guys that have started and fallen flat on their faces. And now, of course, I'm saying Brandon Roy's got the experience, but he hasn't played in the NBA.
No cartilage in his knees.
And no cartilage. So they're not going to throw Brandon Roy into the two without cartilage in his knees. They're not going to have Alexei Shved, an NBA rookie, go in and start. Chase Buttinger started 9 games last year, and he's probably more of a 3 anyway. So, with the league, you know, quote-unquote going smaller. So, who's going to start at the 2? Are you going to go with a Barea-Ridenour? You can't start Wes Johnson again. You're asking to go 9-21 in your first 30 games.
He just scored 20.5 points per game in Summer League.
Yeah. Well, you're the naysayer here.
Yeah, right.
You're
no, naysaying. I don't. Here's another option, Andrei Kirilenko. Didn't play last season.
That's the 2. He's not a 2. He's a 3, combo 4 for that matter.
You can
remember his days back in Utah?
Yeah, you could play him with Wes Johnson or Chase Blinger at the 2. Had a PER of above average of 15 every year but one in his career. Looking to get back in the NBA.
New Jersey. He was a good player when he was in the NBA.
The Brooklyn Nets are showing interest in him. He's been tied to the Timberwolves a little bit. Obviously took the year off. Not a traditional 2, but nor is a traditional go Ridenour and Barea. But it beats on the point. They don't have a shooting guard.
You can't start Andrei Kirilenko.
They don't have a shooting guard.
You can't
guard.
Bring in Andrei Kirilenko. He was a power forward for the Utah Jazz.
He played 3.
He played 3-4. Once Boozer was gone, he was a power forward.
You move Chase Buttinger down. They're going to be playing someone out of position at shooting guard. If it's J.J. Barea, if it's Chase Buttinger, if it's, I've always said Wes Johnson is a 3 with how bad of a ball handler is. Sure. They're going to be playing someone out of position at the 2. Unfortunately, shooting guards, depth-wise, has completely fallen off. I mean, there's very few good shooting guards in the NBA. You got Dwayne Wade, you got Kobe Bryant, and the list is that's about it. Guys like Aaron Aflalo are next on the list. I mean, there's very few pure shooting guards in this league. You got a guy, Courtney Lee, who you could have overpaid for and worked out a sign and trade because you're so willing to overpay for Nicholas Batum. What's your fallback plan? Now it's, Chase Buttinger, can you play too? Oh, can we bring in Andrei Kirilenko? Randy Foy, there he goes.
Honestly, if you give me those options, I take Buttinger. I take Buttinger at the 2. Because he hasn't had a whole lot of starting experience, he's healthy, he's not a rookie, and he's big enough. Those are the 3 things that Ridenour and Barea aren't big enough. Johnson's awful. Shved's a rookie. Roy's not healthy enough to start, to play more than 20 minutes a game at first, to be safe. You invested $5 million a year in the guy. We've already thrown enough money away on guys that are horrendous before Darko Milicic.
Well, without Rubio, you have to, especially to start the year, you have to admit that their first unit is going to be worse than every first unit that they play, so they need to have a very strong second unit. They're going to have to.
Yeah.
Let Kevin Love do his work the first unit. Then you got to look at a second unit of, because I think they're going to have to start Ridenour and Barea. I think that's the play. You go small with it. You got Love at the 4. You got Peck at the 5. And then the 3, maybe it's Buttinger. Maybe it's Wes Johnson. Maybe it's Derek Williams. I still think Derek Williams right now is best suited, especially without Ricky Rubio in the lineup, to come off the bench and attack second units. Kind of be the go-to guy with that second unit. Maybe with Alexei Shved, who I don't think is going to play a lot in 2012. I think he'll start seeing more time in January, February, March.
Right.
But until Rubio gets back, your first unit's not going to be good,
no matter
who your shooting guard is. So why not accept that and try to outscore other teams' second units by more than your first unit's getting outscored by? And granted, how well is that going to go over with Kevin Love, who we saw now today kind of rescind his comment about, I like the move the Timberwolves have made. How? Because they're not good. You didn't like them when you're going after Nicholas Batum, who is by far the best player they would have brought in this offseason. You didn't like it then. Now you like it when we didn't get him. So maybe were we onto something a couple weeks back and we thought it was his ego talking about Nicholas Batum getting a similar deal to the one he got just a few months ago?
We touched on that a few weeks ago, and you see the comments coming, like you said, with that contract obviously being matched. Convenient to that, and also convenient to, if you saw yesterday, and they brought this up on Bumper to Bumper yesterday from 3 to 6:30, Dan Barrero and Justin Guard. Chris Sheridan, who I'm not a huge fan of, but ESPN guy, very plugged into the basketball community, goes with the... Kevin Love's about to lose his minutes to Anthony Davis. He might not play at all in the Olympics because of his attitude, because of his work ethic, and because that he's acting like a star. He's not giving the hustle. He's not giving what he did in 2010 with the World Championships. And he cited one example in one of the previous games of not even going up for a rebound or something like that. And he's only getting 5 or 6 minutes a game in the first place. And so Sheridan was saying, if he doesn't figure it out quick, he's going to be riding the very end of the bench. And now here's where it would worry me, especially with the comments he had about the Wolves and wanting to win now. And like you said, the comments that he's rescinded. But what worries me with that is that line of behavior, not hustling, acting like a star, that fits right in with those comments. That fits with somebody whose head has exploded big and is not being a team player anymore, not only for us, but for Team USA, and starting to look towards getting out, starting to look towards what he can do for himself as opposed to for the team.
Oh, all these guys are talking about the playoffs, and I want to get there.
Yeah.
I want to be a star with these guys and talk about how it's like to win a playoff series. Here's the thing, though. To contradict that, Mark Stein put out a tweet, ESPN's Mark Stein, Steinline. He put out that per possession, plus minus, Kevin Love and Tyson Chandler were number 1 and 2 on the team, respectively. So
not hard. He plays 6 minutes a game.
Yes, but it's not hard to get scored on a couple times, too, and have that. I mean, the sample size is small on both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
So I've liked what I've seen from Kevin Love in these exhibition games. And, you know, we'll see the Spain game later tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And so that will put a lot more faith. Now, that's a good competition. You got guys like Serge Ibaka. You got the Gasols. We'll see. But it's going to be an interesting year. We've already seen him go to the tabloids, go to the media, go out and say his negativity towards the Timberwolves front office and not like what they're doing. Here to the rumor Jerry Zagoda said that he crumpled up the contract they gave him the first time. He thinks he's a star. He put up numbers like a superstar. But at the same time, Kevin Love, you haven't won a playoff series. You haven't led your team to the playoffs. If you're that big of a star, Kobe himself has willed teams to the playoffs. Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, when they were 20 years old, they willed that team to an 8 seed and almost beat the Lakers in the first round 2 years ago. Kevin Love, if you're that big of a star, you need to will your team to the playoffs regardless of who your supporting cast is.
It's amazing to me with NBA free agency.
Kevin Garnett did it.
Yeah, it's amazing to me with NBA free agency, as we move on a little bit, how quickly everybody snapped up. You see NFL, MLB, there's recognizable names all the way up until preseason games, all the way up until spring training, midway through spring training, that are getting signed. All that you look at is that it's left of on most lists of the top 50 are Carl Landry and Delonte West. And I think that speaks to the fast pace of the game, the fast pace of the front offices, the way people have it figured out, especially in this new collective bargaining agreement. Everybody's got the wheels turning. Bit us in the butt. But Carl Landry's really all that's left out there. If people are looking for more things that are going to improve this team, Carl Landry and Delonte West are it. There's nothing left.
Not the Wayne Ellington deal for Dante Cunningham being confirmed. We have another power forward. It evens the lineup, but it doesn't help our shooting guard situation.
And it seems like they're addressing, which is good. They're addressing everything except what really needs to be addressed. And they tried. Granted, they tried.
Yeah.
But it's going to be Rick Adelman's going to have a job cut out for him to figure out how the lineups and everything else are going to work going into late November and early December. Or excuse me, late October and early November. Other news. Tyus Jones, your thoughts
your
after
guy.
The Peach Jam. Rivals number 5 guys, sophomore Apple Valley. Everybody knows the story. Going into his junior year, Nike Peach Jam tournament final numbers from him. This was tweeted out yesterday. 25.8 a game, 63% from the field. 6.5 assists, 3.7 rebounds. Shot 66% from three, 88% from the line. Number 5 guy in the nation, Apple Valley High School. He's got a list right now of like 20 to 25 schools. And tying this into where we were going next, is there maybe a thought in Tyus Jones' mind now that Tubby Smith is locked up for 5 years down the road with that extension he signed? He's got some security. He could come to the U, play for the great Tubby Smith, turn a hometown program into a national contender. Or am I just blowing smoke in my butt?
It helps. Definitely helps.
How dominant was he? Oh,
it helps because now you know. I mean, granted, Tyus Jones isn't going to be there for 1 year.
Right.
But now he doesn't have... At times last
year, though.
At times last year, it was you weren't sure if Tubby Smith's going to make it to the end of the season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, he's going to go to a team that doesn't have a head coach to recruit him. And this is the biggest year for his recruitment. His junior year is the biggest year. Now that he knows Tubby Smith will at least be here for his one season as a freshman, that will definitely help. Does it get him to Minneapolis? Does it get him to Dinkytown? No. But it helps.
It might.
It definitely helps.
It could. He's brilliant. Andrew Wiggins was the other guy that was at the Peach Jam. Number 1 overall in the country. Everybody said that. Some people were saying he's the best recruit that they've seen in like 20, 25 years. They say that about pretty much every
Anthony
one.
Anthony Davis, LeBron James,
number
Dwight
one overall
Howell.
Recruit. Exactly.
But they do turn out usually pretty damn good in the NBA.
Do you realize you just named probably three of the top five guys looking 3 or 4 years from now when Anthony Davis is a stud in the NBA. The backdoor cut covered a lot of ground on that Wolves edition. And Gophers. It's pretty much a Minnesota basketball edition. When there's news outside of the Wolves, there will be
we will
cover that. We will bring it. And we'll bring it to bringmethenews.com and KFAN.com on the Saturdays of Sauce page. On air section under his face, he's down like 69 pounds, he said, in the variety hour. He's like 214 now. He's wasting away. His mom says he's too skinny.
Yeah, he looks good. Meat Sauce, who's on a variety, you can follow him on Twitter. You know, this is a Meat Sauce production at MeatSauce1, or you can follow my co-host Mike Gallagher at Mike_Galley, 2 L's, and then the number 21, or myself at Brett Cloutier.
The Facebook page is The Backdoor Cut on KUG with Mike Gallagher and Brett Cloutier. Of course, that was before we came to KFAN.com. They gave us a very lucrative contract.
Contract, not lucrative, nor a contract.
And you can also find us on the backdoorcut.podomatic.com. We're on like 7 different websites where you can find us. You can't miss us. We'll be tweeted out by Bring Me the News. We'll tweet it out later. Meat Sauce will tweet it out. Kelsey Schultz is on our Variety Hour. Thank you to her. Summer League, Damian Lillard being MVP. Greg Sizema is a Wolf. Courtney Lee is dead. All shooting guard options are dead. Mayo to the Mavs. Asik to the Rockets. Carl Andrews left. That's all the ground we covered. Tyus Jones might be a Gopher one day. We can only hope. Talk about that more next week on the Backdoor Cut.
That was 2 hours with you, which is probably the reason why I've had enough tonight. Time out.
Number 5 in the nation, Mizzou.
Yeah, Missouri.
Big 12 champs crushing Norfolk State.
Got it. Nice play. Pushed him off the block. Stole the ball, and here he comes again. John Calipari upset on the straight down to the box area, but Royce turns to the fans, and why not? He deserves the accolades. All set up by great defense. Royce to the chin. Send it in with that motor.
I could bask in the glory of my own genius.
See, McCoy has come out this time. Normally, Goodrich could come and get it. You know they're going to try to run a backdoor play if they can get it.
Under 10. Backdoor.
This is the only better show than mine, Saturdays with Sauce, but this is The Backdoor Cut. You've been listening to The Backdoor Cut, a Meat Sauce production. This show is definitely not diseased.
Okay, bye-bye.
Let it run. Slamming Bentley doors, hopping out of Porsches, popping up on Forbes, this gorgeous. Hold up. Thought I lost, they be talking. I be talking more, be nauseous. Hold up. I'll be here forever. You know I'm on my fourth. I ain't with foreclosure. I will never forfeit. Best of 4 bars. Google bring the chorus in. Did you get the picture yet? I'm painting you a portrait of young.